Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
That's right. We play no game for those who operate in darkness and wicked behaviors. That's right, y'all. We're back at it again. Live from East Philly streets, North Philadelphia, Airy Ave, to be precise. And if you know what we said, when we talk about every year, we say EA all day. What's good, family? It is a beautiful day today, man. Start off a little chilly, but, you know, temperature is about 83 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day down here in Philadelphia. We welcome you all to Fet Life Station. You can find us at FetLifeStation.com. And this is Philly Fridays. And we want to shout out, especially our New York family, out there in Brooklyn, Becca Evers College. What's going on, family? Appreciate y'all pulling up. And we're about to get into it. So it's about 2 minutes before the hour, but we're going to get started early tonight. And man, oh man. Has it been a few weeks or has it been a few weeks? So, you know, it's something when you create, you know, such animosity just based on your viewpoints. People don't personally know you, but the way you live and the things you say sort of create and generate just people having malevolent feelings for you. Well, that's what's going on right now with our senior citizen, hardest working man in show business right now, Steve Harvey. So, apparently, there was something that was leaked through his social media about him not being funny, the most unfunny comedian, you know, in the world. And then another story was leaked that his current wife, that she had filed for divorce, or he had filed for divorce because she wasn't being faithful. That Marjorie Harvey was having an affair, allegedly, with Steve Harvey's personal chef and bodyguard. So it took him a few days to clear it up. Steve Harvey came out with an official statement stating that this is all rumor, innuendo, it was false. But the funny part about this is that Steve Harvey has built up so much animosity amongst men in particular, people who identify as masculine men, people who identify as alpha men and alpha women that like men to be masculine, that they were going on with the rumor as if it was a stated fact. People were doing talk shows, podcasts, reviews, reactions. It is hard for me to feel sorry for. I actually felt sorry for Steve Harvey this week. But hey, man, you get in this world what you put out. And see, when you live in a way in which you try to become a relationship guru, creating books and a whole fan, you know, fandom behind Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And you put movies out there where you, and then you become this guru talk show host where you're, you know, relationships expert. And you were part of, you know, three failed marriages. I'm not saying that that's, you know, anybody can do it, but bro, your whole story is public. Your mistresses that ended up being the main squeeze, and then you coming down on brothers. You know, that pandering thing that's going on is starting to bite a lot of people in the behind. We saw some pictures out there. I'm not going to mention no names, but certain people are booed up. You can't make this shit up, man. I'm trying to tell you. So, then there's another story out recently. You know, a lot of ladies really don't like this fair play thing. See, it's cool when you look at things from the position or the possibility of what you can get out of it. But when you don't actually think about when you don't look at it from the big picture, like have a big picture perspective of it, you get caught up because you don't understand the flip side. So all the benefits and the goodies and the gains and the tangibles that you receive. So a few months ago, Mary J. Blige was, you know, making her rounds on the, sitting on different couches. And she was, you know, really pitching a fit about the fact that she's angry that she has to pay alimony to her ex-husband. You know, and I find it, you know, like, and I saw all the comments like a real man and a real man this and a real man that. Well, listen, maybe she didn't marry a real man, but she did marry that man. So where's the accountability in that part of the equation? You out here picking and choosing your body, your choice. You know, where's the accountability at? And this is what I'm talking about. Like, women want to be grown until it comes time to do some grown people shit. And then all of a sudden, you know, we don't want to grow up with Toys R Us kids. You know, we don't want to, you know, deal with the accountability. We love the beautiful house. We don't want to have to do anything if the roof caves in. We don't want to be responsible for fixing that. If the basement floods. We don't want to be accountable for fixing the basement. That's what we're hearing here. But you want the house. You want to be able to make rules for the house. You want to tell people, take off your shoes before you come into my house. When you use the bathroom, these are the hand towels that you use to dry your hands, and those are for decor. But you got to be responsible for everything else. Is you got to take accountability for those things. This is what I mean when we say accountability is fleeting. You know, on one gender, one part of our, you know, our other gender here. And it's funny because this is what equality actually means. So I bring that up because Halle Berry has been Halle Berry has just agreed to pay $8,000 a month in child support to the father of her child and her ex-husband. I believe his name is Olivier Martinez. Don't get me on the name. And there's like a meme going around right now, a little poster going around saying that she doesn't feel comfortable paying child support to a man who feels comfortable using the N-word. Unfortunately, none of you ladies feel comfortable having to do things that men in your position have had to do. This whole race card, and I'm not one to call people out on the race card because I know racism is real. But you don't get to pick and choose and decide that you're going to date white men. I don't care if you call yourself biracial or not. You came into this world, it was understood you were a black woman. Even your mother told you that. Your white mother told you that, Holly. So you get to try to dance and play the fence on situations and then, you know, spew lukewarm rhetoric in your behavior. Cut it out. We're not falling for this. But I just find it interesting that this is where we're going with these things these days. So that's that, you know. You know, I've been going Facebook Live a little bit more so than usual, and you can catch it on my YouTube page, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I don't have a lot of subs because I really don't use it. So when YouTube took my other page, then I really haven't put a lot of effort into this one. So, you know, bear with me. It'll come. But I did two lives back to back, and it was really talking about people putting your personal business on social media. Like, what type of time are we in right now? Y'all out here, hospital beds, gurneys, tubes coming out of you. You're out here talking about the latest episode and your chaotic lives. And to who? To quote Ricky Waters, the former running back for the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. For who? For what? What are you doing this for? For people who you met through social media to weigh in on your personal situation? Do y'all understand? Like, y'all actually are out here, you know, please, prayer warriors, pray for me, this, that, and the other. Do y'all understand that not everybody that watches you on social media is actually cheering for you to win? Do you not understand the power of words, spell casting? Like, y'all need to really think through the etymology on these words. Understand what they mean. Every time you speak, you're speaking, it's a prayer. Every time. You ever wonder why some people are like, whoa, it's me, all I have is bad luck. They can't seem to get a break, save their lives. It's because that's what they're putting out. So that's the energy that's being redirected back to them. It's the same thing when you use portals such as your phones, your cell phones, your computers, your tablets, and so forth. And you cast these spells out for people, to people, about people. Use a little bit of the call. Actually, access the friends that you have in real life, the family you have in real life. Stop utilizing social media for therapy, because I'm going to tell you, it's one of the worst things you could possibly do. People mess around. You talk about, there are people who have literally put a post up on social media, got berated so much that it caused them to delete themselves. And if you're one of those people who put your thoughts, your prayers, your innermost feelings on social media, chances are you won't be strong enough to withhold or withstand the bombardment of people who have ill will towards you. You might be the next one. Deleting yourself, self-harm, harming somebody else. We already live in a time where people don't have control over their emotions. And then people just react. And a lot of people feel free, they feel powerful in those moments, and those are the most vulnerable times you can be in, the most vulnerable space you can put yourselves in. So let's get better with that, family. You know, cry on somebody else's shoulder. Because another thing, too, like, it's very irresponsible. I've seen therapists do this because they don't know what they're doing. And they don't truly understand, you know, the qualifications that come in, the things that the requirements in terms of what their position is. You try to hold court and host a therapy session online. Well, if somebody actually has a breakthrough, and they can't deal with the traumatic response that comes from that, and they end up harming themselves or somebody else, you, as a therapist, specifically if you're a licensed therapist, you're liable for that. You're responsible for that. And most of y'all get bad advice anyway. And since the majority of therapists are women, it goes hand in hand. And I know y'all hate me say that, right? But I used to do posts on Facebook. I used to do polls. I think I talked about this a little last week. Where I would ask the men, give me some good advice for teenagers, young men, as they plot and plan for the next 10 to 15 years of their life. The brothers would be on there talking about, well, make sure you get a skill. Make sure you have a trade to fall back on just in case the academic, you know, journey falls short. Make sure you have something where you'll always be valuable in this world. Make sure you put together a foundation. Learn to network and build with other men. Build with other people, they said. But it was more so based on being better men for your community. The sisters would see that and they would start jumping on the post because, you know, you can't just say, hey, brothers, this is just for you. Unfortunately. So I would cater to the sisters. Ladies, what advice would you give young sisters coming into adulthood to help steer them correctly so that they can make proper decisions and be in a good position to succeed in life? Oh, girl, go out and live your best life. Don't settle down. Don't settle for nothing. Make sure you see the world first. Go out there. Get your money, stack your paper, go do it. I'm looking at this like, what the fuck is going on here? What type of high school, you know, shit is this? And these are people who identify as being conscious. People who always talk about the village. And then I realized something. A woman's lens in terms of leadership is very skewed. She can only go as far, leadership-wise, as the man she chooses. This is a hard fact. Because she is always going to look out for number one. And I remember, but it takes the men to actually say, no, we need to do this for the betterment of the community. Who puts together the soccer team? Who puts together the baseball team? Who puts together the football teams for the youth in the community? Yes, we have soccer moms who pull up, but it's under the guise that a man put this shit together. Excuse my language this week, but this is a little bit of frustration coming out of dealing with these topics. Women, y'all make horrible, y'all give the worst advice. And you face it. You don't base your advice off of facts. You base it off of an emotion. And y'all don't give each other real, like right now, we are dealing with a crisis right now in every Western community right now, where they're facing depopulation in terms of the ability to produce the next generation. So mortality rates are plummeting with every race. And for a while, we thought it was genetics. And it still could be, specifically for Eastern Europe, who doesn't, they don't really operate like this in the Eastern part of the world, Eastern Europe and so forth. But we look at the sexual revolution that was tied into women's suffrage and women's liberation. And we look at all of those different movements that led to the television series Sex and the City, the Cosmopolitan push and the Playgirl magazine push of, you know, pushing these stories of these ruggedly independent women and how they went and traveled the world and lived their best life having sex, you know, in a villa on the south of France. And we look at that 60 years or 50 years later, that was the 70s, 50 years later. And we see women are trying to have their careers in their 20s, party in their 20s, and it spills over into their 30s. And by the time they're 36, 37, now they're looking to settle down. And they've run into a problem. And they run into this thing called the wall. But what they don't know, is that, you know, they don't know that they ran into this wall a long time ago. They don't know. That they 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, and it's 40. And we keep trying to tell y'all. But y'all keep getting advice like this. Y'all keep getting advice like, hold on, where's that? Here's that. Y'all keep getting advice like this. Wait a minute, hold on, I did. Hold on, give me a second. Fine, here we go. Y'all keep getting advice like this.
I think the challenge is that women are having, black women in particular, when it comes to becoming a wife.
Keeping it 100, yes. There's not enough eligible black males who fit the needs of black women.
Mm.
By the time you dissect the demographics of finances, sexual orientation, what you end up drilling down into, because black women tend to want to marry black men.
Right, right.
So black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees. Graduate degree, doctorate degrees, they're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around them.
Right.
And it's also shown in research that women want to marry on their same level of financial and educational status.
Yeah.
So if you're a black woman making $150,000 a year with a master's degree, you tend to want to marry a black man on that same level or higher. If black women are excelling at such an accelerated rate, how do men keep up with that?
Drinking.
Now, and I'm going to tell you, first of all, that's all cash. That's the woman you heard talking to, the woman asking the question was Kendra G, who hosts the dating show, been going back about 5 years. Catch Kendra G on her channel, YouTube, and she has an Instagram channel that she actually does the show on, I believe. She was interviewing Rebecca Lynn Pope. And if those of you don't realize, Rebecca Lynn Pope came out a few years ago talking about how delusional black women were when it came to the dating scene. how they wanted men that they weren't qualified for. She was made famous because a lot of people in the manosphere started utilizing that video to support their argument about how delusional women were. So she then got so much pushback. See, she stopped, as a dating coach, she stopped taking on black women as clients at that particular time. Her and a host of other dating coaches all followed the same trend. But she got so much backlash from that that she sort of responded in a very spiteful way. So now she's out here putting out misinformation about the dating things and about a few things. So I'm going to go back to one thing she first said. The first thing she said was that women, black women are running circles around black men. That is erroneous, right? And we're just talking about the academic, the numbers, the financial numbers, and things of that nature. There's literally twice as many black men making six figures. The finance, this is what she's using as a rubric, financial. Black women, it's about 9 to 10% of black men are making over $100,000 a year. Only 4 to 5% of black women are making over $100,000 a year. So she's basing this account on a very small, small number. Very small number. And if anybody has any, you know, you want to check it out, go to blackdemographics.com and you can research everything I'm telling you, because I'm citing my source, blackdemographics.com, for that piece of information. Now, in addition to that, she said something else that was extremely erroneous, and we're going to deal with that now. She said that black women prefer to date black men. I'm going to tell you, that is bullshit. That is the biggest cap in the universe. The only reason black women are loyal to black men is because men of other races, other than fetishes, don't desire black women. They damn sure don't desire them from relationships because they see how black women treat their own men. And black men have been the only ones willing to tolerate it up until recently. White men, let me tell y'all something about, you know, because when they talk about dating out, they're really talking about white men. They're not talking about going Asian. They're not talking about Latinos. Unless the Latino man represents what they think they found in a white man, similar to what Halle Berry was dealing with. Let me tell you what a lot of sisters do. They want white men. They, because they see it as a status. Status, a jumping status. White women tried the same feminist, you know, shit about 20 years ago, and white men dropped them where they were. White men started dating Latinas. They started dating Arabian women, Mediterranean women. They started having children by Asian women. That's where the Keanu Reeves and people like that come from. So you go back about 25, 30 years, they weren't putting up with this. White women got together, they huddled up, and they all started talking about ways to get their men back. And if you don't believe me, there is a series on TED Talks. TED Talks, I know the TED Talks, you know, the seminars, you know, on YouTube. They got their own YouTube channel. Go look at all the women. All the white women who are talking about different ways to win their men back. You see, they tried, you know, they tried this thing, you know, with feminism and all this other stuff. They tried it with their men. But they never had disdain for their men. It was just a power play. This was them negotiating, you know, balance in terms of who controlled the, you know, the strength of power. Here in the Western world, when their men weren't going for it and they dropped them cold turkey, they didn't decide to go to other men. They didn't decide their men. If they recognize we live in a world where if you don't have coverage and protection, you are vulnerable. That's something sisters are figuring out. They should be figuring out. I don't know if they're figuring it out yet because, see, black women have a disdain for black men. It's a low boiling level of contempt right beneath the surface. And it don't take much to scratch. It's like tissue thin, tissue paper thin. Before you get that, you know, unleashed, you know, fire, that flame on from our women. And this is the biggest reason why you can't have black solidarity. Like I said, man, I was in several relationships, but one in particular, especially my most recent one, right, where that woman would try to sabotage the images of other men because she wanted to be on the arm of the so-called alpha. She would have conversations with their wives to try to plant, you know, seeds of deceit in their wives' minds about their own husbands. She was a chameleon. I didn't speak much on it. I'm just glad I got out alive, and I'm literally saying that for real. We read stories every day about somebody getting set up, murder for hire, or, you know, somebody planting a bug in somebody's ear, and the next thing you know, they done gaslit a situation and explodes, and the brother's dead at the end of their story. Yeah, that could have been your story. But it's that disdain, that hatred that our women have for us. And a lot of sisters are denying, oh, we don't feel that way. We don't feel that way. Have one disagreement with them. Have one minor disagreement. And you'll see the veins start to pull. The neck, the temple. You'll start to see the blood. It's like, you know, let's get ready to vote. I've never seen a group of women so quick to fight their men. And this goes back to slavery. This whole concept goes back to slavery. And it goes back to the fact that, you know, there was a lot of resentment from black women because black men could protect them from the horrors of slavery. And there was no resolution. There was no candor put unto for the brothers that did die fighting for the honor and the valor of black women. There were a lot of black men who were mutilated because they defended the honor of their women. But that's never spoken of. Brothers who were drawn and quartered. For those of you who don't know what that is, drawn and quartered is when you tie a rope to each limb of a person. And the other part of that rope is tied to horses. And those horses are simultaneously whipped so that they can pull off and charge either direction, ripping that person apart. So ripping that person apart. There were times where people were put into were placed into the rectum of the men. And gunpowder was poured into the funnel and lit just to watch that man explode from the inside. Shot gate defending our women. But yet and still, there's animosity that's extended for 400 years. And also, when you truly understand that Black people didn't migrate to America, Black people were enslaved and brought against their will. It wasn't a natural family lineage. It wasn't a natural courtship process. None of that. So, and I'm gonna play something for y'all because this what I'm about to play for y'all, it's gonna illustrate something because it's gonna illustrate more so along the lines of what we're talking about. So I want y'all to pay attention. Shout out to the sister GD who clipped this up. This is from our dear brother Kevin Samuels. You know, Godfather. This is a clip from his show, one of his shows. I want y'all to listen to this, all right? Because this is something that we talk about in terms of the community. Now, there was another one I wanted to play where, you know, a sister who happened to be a therapist stated that that Black women did not belong to Black men, although other women belong to the men of their community. But, you know, we can only play so many clips on here. But I want y'all to listen to this one right here, because this is talking about the sisters are actually teaching their daughters in regards to relationships in our community.
Yeah. Where are you teaching your daughters to prioritize relationship, marriage, and family? Be honest. What do you think, not you, but Black women with Black daughters are teaching it?
I can tell you what I told my kids.
On a scale from 1 to 10, what are you teaching them to prioritize? Marriage and family. 10 being the highest.
You didn't have kids.
No, but on a scale.
So let's say about a 6.
6. What are you teaching them to prioritize? Education and education. Be honest.
Let's be clear. Education is and go to college.
Yes.
That's probably
about 4. Okay. Where are you teaching her to prioritize being able to take care of herself in this world?
That's like at an 8.
Okay. How is she supposed to do that without college?
Well, I'm not telling them, I'm not pushing, after high school you have to go to college. No, I'm like, figure out what it is you want to do and go to school for that.
Okay. School is still college.
Yeah.
So let's be true. You're still you're teaching her that taking care of yourself is at an 8. Whether it's college.
No.
See, that's the problem.
Okay, let me just interject for a quick second.
So I'm going to stop right there. Now, it goes further. That scene goes a lot further, and it goes further on in terms of the mother basically stating that she placed priority of her child's education, career, life over her ability, her desire to build a family. And this is what I'm talking about when we talk about, you know, the Western world, but we talk about that breakdown and lack of culture, because you had so many Black people whose culture was stripped from them. And then you mixed up different cultures because, you know, African is not a monolith in regards to culture. And then you had all of that strip. And then, so it was never a time. So we can't go back. Like, Irish people can go back to the old days in Ireland. They can go back to the William of Orange days in Ireland and tell you their lineage. You know, Italians can go all the way back to the old days of Sicily. You know, they can go back to the days of Rome and tell you about, you know, the Roman Empire thing. We can't do that shit. But, you know, we're still, as Black men, held to the same candle as those other men who were treated with such cultural relevance and reverence that, you know, we're supposed to be at the same stage But those men always have the support of their women. Even if their women are, and don't get it twisted. White men are still complaining, but the white men were the original passport bros. Their days of passport bros go way back to World War I. You're talking like 1917. That's how far passport bros go for the white community. It is not something people want to pin it on black men because they can get by without taking the heat. This is a new phenomenon for brothers, and it came. Look, let me just say something about that thing Rebecca Lynn Pope said, right? About black women running circles around black men. First of all, black women ain't running circles around shit but a donut shop. And I'm approving. And I don't mean to say that in a way. Let me take that back, right? But not really. So a good friend of mine, I hope, you know, I know he's listening, so I hope he doesn't, you know, traumatize him any more than this. He literally was traumatized by this experience. He dropped his wife off at the Beyonce concert down there in Charlotte. So he had to come back and pick her up. And it took her a while because she couldn't figure out where he was. And, you know, so he was parked in one location. She worked her way to him. In the process, exiting the Beyonce concert were hordes of black women. Thousands of black women exiting the Beyonce concert. And as he stood there waiting for his wife, he said he maybe saw three, maybe four attractive women, body, face, and all, coming out of that concert. And these are the same women that Rebecca Lynn Pope said are running circles around black men. But I'm going to say something that's pretty taboo. But we don't do PC here. They may call me PC, but we don't do PC here. You have to be attractive in order to attract the gaze of the top functioning men in our society. That's not just the black community. But black men are privileged in that fashion. And that's it. We do get to determine who we want to holler at. And I don't care if you make Oprah Winfrey money. If you're not attractive enough, you're not going to turn a man of substance head, a man of qualities head. See, here's the thing, right? And, you know, I'm having this conversation with young sisters now. You're in your 20s. Outside of your experience, if you went to college, this is the time that most men are going to watch you. Most men are going to be attracted to you. Why? Because this is at the time where you have your fertility screaming to men. Your breasts are never going to be this small, this perfect. Not naturally, anyway. When you walk, that ass is going to shake like it is in your 20s. Your skin is not going to glow the same way when you get older. Your face, you may still be pretty, but you're going to have to beat it up, as y'all often say with the makeup, in order to restore that glow you had in your 20s. And here's something that nobody tells y'all. Your vaginal walls after the age of 30, they lose their elasticity. In other words, it doesn't snap back. And even if you do Kegel, it doesn't snap back as much. Men notice these things. This is why you have women in their 40s talking about, I gotta get a guy in 20s because, you know, I need a man with an erection. The problem is the man starts off with an erection inside of you. But if it's like throwing a golf ball down the hallway, there's not enough friction to maintain the erection. And that's something that most men are afraid to bring up because they get shamed into it. But, then, you know, listen, we're functioning right now from a period that can be likened to post-ejaculation prayer. For those of you who don't know, ladies, I'm going to say it, because now when I say it, you're going to recognize it. You ever, you know, spend the night with a guy? Not a night, but you ever was, you know, hot and heavy and getting ready to have sex with a guy, he seems so into you. You pulling away, he pushing, you know, he pulling you back, and he just, you know, it's the affection and the energy, you know, the touching, it's all good. He can't get enough of you. Then after, maybe not after the first time, but after that second nut, he's laying in the bed, you're laying in the bed, it's great, you have, you know, you had your orgasms, he had his. It's just wonderful. But now all of a sudden there's this uncomfortable, uneasy quiet going on. You know? All of a sudden he's looking around for stuff. All of a sudden he's trying to find his watch. You know, what time is it? Oh shoot. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Ever notice that? See, that's called post-ejaculation clarity. He wasn't as into you as you wanted him to be. But his nature was driven by the testosterone in his loins. Powerful drug. But after he had his fill, he actually can see how he really feels about you when his eyes are not blinded by the lust that made you desirable to him. And now, he doesn't want to even be next to you. He's ready to go. He jumps up, take a shower. Sometimes, if he don't take a shower, he really didn't want to be around you. Well, 2020 was post-ejaculation clarity worldwide for black men. It was when the black manosphere became public. It was no longer private. It was a public conversation. And a lot of men for the first time realized that they were all experiencing a lot of the same things. And one of the biggest things they realized is, but we were, as black men, we were conditioned to take punishment. We were conditioned to take verbal abuse, spiritual abuse from our women. And not just our women. Sometimes it was our auntie. Sometimes it was our cousin. Sometimes it was our sisters. Sometimes it was our mothers. Sometimes it was our grandmothers. But somehow, some way, in a matriarchal society, we were taught that abuse was normal, but it was only one way. We could talk back. The belt would be out striping us. The ladies, the sisters, and the cousins would be on the side smirking while you're getting whipped, enjoying your pain and suffering. You see, that's a psychological abuse that's not really discussed. You see, we talk about this whole concept of a gender war, but it didn't become a gender war until men spoke back. Until men said, this is what we're going through. This isn't right. And then black men said, shit, I have value. I have built myself to be somebody that's deserving of respect, that's deserving of being treated with dignity. I handle myself with integrity. And damn it, if you can't honor that, then you no longer deserve my presence or to be in my presence. We saw the celebration of Kevin Samuel's death and what that truly meant. That celebration of Kevin Samuel's death was a shot against all black men, all masculine black men. Even people, even brothers who didn't like Kevin Samuels saw that. Jason Black couldn't stand Kevin Samuels. But even he called that out. And I say this as a person who doesn't. I say this as a person who wants to love black women. I used to go around saying that black women were the best women on the planet. I can no longer say that. Now I have to say, if black women know who they are, understood their place in the world, which is beside their men, not adversarial, not separate from, respecting his leadership, because if somebody kicks in the door 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what? I can't protect you if I can't lead you. Black women have the potential to be the best one. But right now, you're not there. And black men understand they deserve better. And so this whole thing about the wall, you know, that attention, y'all don't see it coming until it gets there. And then, like I said, like I played with the, you know, sound effect. No, y'all gonna be the ones. Y'all gonna be the ones up there, like this.
What more do you want from me?
Y'all gonna be the ones like that, because brothers are no longer responding to the things that used to work for the last 40 years. The shame, the insult, the guilt, and the need to be right. Brothers ain't dealing with that. You'll find yourself talking to the echo chambers that share your disdain. But that's the only ones who will be listening. And then when you get in your 30s or 40s, you're going to be on TikTok talking about, I can't believe y'all lied to us. Y'all told us the men would still be here. Y'all told us to go out there and live our best life in our 20s, build our careers, stack our papers, and now we're in condos we can't afford. The stress is mounting because we can't pay our bills. And I just need a fan. You know, Meg Thee Stallion said it a few months ago at the Essence Festival. She said, we might want y'all niggas, but we don't need y'all. White women used to say that same shit. Now look at it. And I'm going to tell y'all what else got to this situation, how it got to this. You know, there's a lot of women out here right now talking about, well, I want a man to court me. I want a man to come chase me and hunt me down. How many of y'all kill that? That's old. That era is dead. You want to know what? You killed it. Women killed it. Y'all wanted to get behind all these movements because y'all were at war. Y'all were playing this game. Disney has this Marvel series now called The Secret War, The Secret Invasion. And it speaks to these aliens that are, you know, shapeshifters and whatever, and they're secretly invading Earth. So they're aligning and they're creating allies with everybody else that could become the enemies of the United States, so they create a world war. But see, sister, that's what y'all do. Y'all aligned with everybody who y'all thought would be the enemies of black men. Y'all aligned with the LGBTQ because that's who is targeting black men. Y'all aligned with feminist outfits. Y'all had to create a different category of feminism just to make it relevant to black men. Y'all aligned with all these different groups. And what they did was they allowed y'all to isolate yourselves just enough to where y'all was stupid enough to tell Ice Cube on the Cocktails of Queens, we're not black people, we're black women. When he was talking about his plan for black America. Stupid enough to keep saying that, you know, you want black no mask, blah, blah, blah. All this other stuff. Separate yourself. We hate black men, this, that, and the other. We're not going to cheer for you black men. We're not going to fight for you black men. You know, hanging effigies of black men hanging on highways. during the type, during the height of black male lynching in 2014, when John Crawford, Azelle Ford, Mike Brown, and his brother from New York were all killed by police. You're talking about how you're not going to rally for black men no more. Fine. Now you've isolated yourself from the world and seeing that. And now you have become vulnerable. And now you're saying, where's all the black men? The black men are like me, right where we've always been. But until you show us some respect and put some respect on our name, we're going to let y'all see what it's like to not have our cover. And for those of you who think we never had in the first place, you're going to really understand what it's like. You know, it's another supposed pandemic coming up. And I call them pandemic because how the hell you know this far out that one is coming? Unless you're planning. The last pandemic, when it came out, sisters finally got to understand what it was like to not be covered. To not have a man to go out there and brave these elements while this dangerous and hostile virus was out there taking people out. Like it was Saturday Night Beach. Ladies, this is a wake-up call. Because what I'm saying is not, this is not, I'm not saying this from a place of bitterness, anger, this, that, and the other. It's quite sad, actually. Because y'all don't have any other tools or other weapons in your toolbox. So the only thing y'all have for us is disdain and hostility. And then you just keep upping it. Y'all keep trying to shame us. It's amazing how close y'all are to the LGBTQ, but the second a black man stands up for himself, he's gay. We didn't start this. So y'all are going to have to be the ones to finish this so-called gender war. And it can't be from a place where you're telling us that let's all come to the table. No, you've been whooping my ass for 20 years. I pushed you off of me. And now all of a sudden, I have to have the same level of atonement as you? I don't think so. And if you feel as though you don't have that, that just speaks more to your conviction, to the conviction of your animosity towards us. Because if it's all about getting back on the same page, humble yourself, black woman. Keep saying the world wants to humble us. No, your men wants to humble you so that we can get back on board and start actually building family units. Because as I said before, y'all can't do it alone. The last 30 years of the black community should have shown you that. In league and partnership with your Lord and Savior, the white man, propelled the war on drugs in the black community and destroyed our homes, the crack cocaine epidemic. Even hooked some of you. This is what you're in league with, your partnership, all of these different things, these degrees, you got all these different positions and work titles. You have titles without nobility. It means nothing. But you can go on thinking that you can be in this world without the leadership of your men. See where it's getting you? Do you see what it will get you? And you professional women, like 90%. Hold on, is something up there? Hold on, do I have something that speaks to the... I don't know why I keep saying a lot on this. Pop it off of here, okay. I want y'all to check this out real quick. So this is what's happening. The oldest.
One thing I notice about aging is people start to treat you so differently. When I was younger, people would be nicer to me. Like, they would go out of their way to talk to me, smile at me, hold doors open. But as I've gotten older, what I'm noticing is that people, they don't do that. It's almost like you become slowly more and more invisible I feel like the only people that really see me are other middle-aged women. You know, it's like we give each other this knowing look. One thing I notice about aging is people's...
Yes. That's called the wall. That's called being alone. You become invisible. Is that what you really want? Y'all better take a look at what happened to Brittany Renner. Go check her out, her interview on the Dancer Project, and how she responded to fumbling the bag with PJ Washington, giving Charleston White unsolicited lap dances that he begged her not to give him, splashing him, as well as former heavyweight champion Shannon Briggs with bottles of water. But as Beyonce goes home to her husband and children, she's sitting here bouncing out, rolling down the streets to the theme song of All the Single Ladies. All the Single Ladies. So if you're trying to build sisters, we here. We waiting. So humble yourself when you pull up, because that nasty-ass attitude to get the door slammed in your face these days. And with that, I say... another edition of Office Hours. I'm going to thank everybody for pulling up. As I always say, war and peace, because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I say, ashe. Peace and power, family. My love. Take us all, best.